Now, if you will, please turn in your Bible to the third chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 3, and we will read, please, from the first verse. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, that was the sign of the covenant of the Jewish people. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Look down the chapter, please. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds, or by keeping the Ten Commandments, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law, or pointed forward to by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation. You may, that big word, if you do not know what it means, very simply you could say, God hath set forth to be the meeting place, through faith, in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now I trust the reading of that passage will be a help to you tonight, and a blessing from God. I want to note with you, God being justified and man being justified. Now the word justified in each of these two cases really is very interesting, and let me just explain it just for the sake of those who are young here tonight. What does it mean to be justified? Well, immediately that we look at this word, we're thinking of something very legal. And chapter 3 of Romans is the picture of the courtroom of God. God is the judge, he is making the evaluation, he is passing the sentence, and he will see that it is carried out. Likewise, in this third chapter, God is seen as the savior of condemned sinners. That's the message of the gospel, that's what I found out. Thank God, I found that the Lord Jesus could be trusted for my salvation from righteous, divine judgment passed upon me as a sinner. And that's what this message in chapter 3 of Romans is all about. Now the word justified means not only to be cleared from the condemnation, but to be put in a condition and a position where you could never be condemned in the future. That's being justified. Marvelous. God speaks of it as being put in Christ, so that Christ becomes my representative. Therefore, I can never be brought into judgment. My friend tonight, can you not see that this message of the gospel is a precious message? Not only should you lend an ear to it, but you should go in for getting it. The great offer of the gospel, to be put in a position, righteously, scripturally, eternally, where you would never be brought into judgment by God, that's what it means to be saved. Marvelous gift. And I hope that you receive it tonight. That's the purpose of the gospel, to proclaim it to you. And as God speaks to your heart tonight, friend, believe him, listen to him, take in his word. He wants to bring you into the great joy of being justified. But in my first statement that we read in verse 4 of chapter 3 of Romans, We read of men justifying God. Now, how could they ever do that? What does that mean, men justifying God? Let me give you a simple illustration. One time, I have three boys, two girls, three boys. And you know what boys are like in the home. Well, we had our problems, and I mean problems, you know, boys wrestling, tussling, arguing, fighting. And one time one of the boys wrote a bad word on me, and they were sick. The window of the garage. But I saw it, and I figured it was one of the boys. So, of course, Daddy had to find out who did it. Well, Mr. Nobody did it. Does he live at your house? He lived at my house a long time, Mr. Nobody. Nobody did it, but it was there. So one by one I had to speak to my boys. Who did it? Well, nobody did it. My youngest boy, he's very quiet. And he wouldn't say anything. I interpreted that to mean guilt. And my middle boy, yes, he agreed. Yes, Doug did. Doug didn't do it, but I didn't know that. So Douglas had to bear the punishment for writing a bad word, which I had taught him was a filthy word, and we were not to even say it, and not let alone write it in the window. But that was when my boy, Doug, was 6 years old. 2 years ago, at our 40th wedding anniversary, all our family was together. And Paul said, Doug and I have something to tell you, Dad. And of course, they were giggling and laughing, you know. Paul said, Dad, remember that word Doug got the licking for? He said, I will. At the time, Douglas only said one word to me, Dad, didn't do it. How many years later? 28 years later, my Douglas was justified. He was given credit for telling the truth. I thought, that's what it means to justify God. Give God credit for telling. Now, I do not know, my dear friend, that's a very homely illustration, but can I say to you, it is tremendously practical. There were occasions in my life when I did not give God credit for telling the truth. I didn't believe what he said about me. I didn't think he was telling the truth about me. But I'll tell you, there came a Sunday night in my experience when I justified God, and I gave him credit for telling the truth about me. And about what the Lord Jesus had done for me. I'd never given him credit for that. Now, can I speak to you kindly tonight and note with you how the Lord, in this passage, he's pictured in three ways. And you and I, friend, it is our responsibility to justify God. It's interesting, isn't it? Whenever you talk to people about receiving the assurance that their soul is ready for heaven, and if anything happened to them, they would go straight to heaven, not someplace in between, not someplace to wait for a number of years and pray long enough and hopefully you'll get out of it. No, that's not the Bible's teaching. The Bible teaches you go straight to heaven, straight to hell. And that is eternal, irreversible, unchangeable. The condition, tremendously solemn. That's scriptural teaching, friend. That's what the Bible says. And if men and women are interested in going straight to heaven, it's interesting how, somehow or other, we all try to look inside to find something that we can offer to God as a reason to let us into heaven. My friend, if you want something to do for God, justify Him. You get down to business about giving God credit for telling the truth about you. In this passage, the God of heaven is looked upon as an historian. And he's going back over the history of man. In the first 9 verses of this chapter, that's what God is doing. He's looking at your history and mine. The first thing he mentions is who we are. Where did we come from? Jew or Gentile? He's looking at the two classes of people in the world. The reason that he distinguishes them is because to the Jewish people, he gave special privileges. To them was given the Ten Commandments, never given to the Gentiles. To them was given promises of a Savior, never given to the Gentiles. They had privileges. And then there are the Gentile nations that did not have those privileges. And God is going back to the origin, and he's going to show it doesn't matter whether you had privileges and blessings so kindly given of God, or whether you were raised in an atmosphere where you never saw a Bible, and you never heard a message of grace from God who has been grieved and insulted by your sin, and that he can forgive you freely and righteously and make you fit for heaven, then you've never heard that, friend. Ah, God is showing as an historian, he looks back over your history and he says, it makes no difference which you came from. I know your history, but going right back to the beginning, they all merge in one. And they came from one man, Adam, the sinner. And my friend, tonight, God looks at your history and he knows every day of it. From the very beginning, in the riches of his kindness and wisdom, he chose to give you life. Many a babe was born the day that you were born and that I was born. And sad to say, some of them were stillborn. They did not have life, but God chose to preserve you life. My friend, he's done that for a reason. He wants you to receive the infinite blessings of his great salvation. He wants you to be in heaven with him forever and ever. Don't miss that, friend. Whatever you do, don't miss it. The purpose of life, that God should enjoy you forever and you to enjoy him. And as the historian, as he looks back over your little history, he comes to the conclusion and he adds these words. He says, they have all sinned. That's the conclusion of God in your history. Can I ask you, friend, have you ever given God credit for that being true? Have you ever bowed to God, yes, God, I am nothing but a sinner? That's justifying God, because God has said that's true of you. He looks over your history, he says, it doesn't make any difference which avenue you came from in life, privileged or perhaps not privileged to know the truth. Irrespective, he says you are a sinner. Furthermore, he says you are a sinner, not only by birth, but by choice. You have chosen to disobey God. And have you ever justified God? Have you ever told him, yes, Lord, that's true. I am a sinner by choice. That's justifying God. Friend, if you want something to do for God, get down upon your knees and be honest with him about your history as a sinner. But furthermore, God is like a doctor in this passage. And he's looking at man. You'll notice if you were to take time to read, and I would counsel you, friend, to read this third chapter of Romans before you go to your bed tonight. It will only take you less than 10 minutes to read the chapter. But it's a marvelous chapter of explaining God's mind and God's word about you and the remedy that he has for you as a sinner. As your history, you are a sinner. By birth and by choice, so am I. I make no fame, friend, of anything but just being a poor sinner that's saved by the grace of God. That's all I have. That's all I need. Thank God that fits me for heaven. That's why we're here, friend. Again, we tell you. Hope you get it tonight. That's what the gospel holds out to you. Now, as the doctor, as the physician, in beginning in verse 13 of this chapter, God begins to look at man. He looks at what comes out of his mouth. And he looks at what's in his heart. And he looks at what his eyes are watching. And he looks at the path that his feet take. And he looks at the things that his hands handle. And he says of him, sick. She's sick. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she's sick. Sick because of sin. Friend, sin is a tyrant. It's within your very nature and mind. And we cannot extricate that. We can't get it out. We can put the cap on the bottle and stop the bad word coming out. And we can control our thinking and our what we look at and where we go and what we handle. But we can't get rid of that tyrant. It's a disease that's working in the very nature of man. God says you are sick. Have you ever given them credit? Yes, God. Sick with sin. I hope tonight you're sick of your sin. That's what God is looking for. Men and women who will discover God is right. Give Him credit for being true. Justify God. God has spoken. What will you do with His Word? The last picture of God in this passage is that God is a judge. It's a legal picture. And He's sitting upon the bench. And He brings in all the evidence of your life. Oh, I praise God tonight. One of the great joys of my salvation is this, friend. God will never bring evidence against me anymore because it's all been brought in and all been judged and the payment's been given. And I'm saved. I'm free. I'll never be punished for the sins of my own doing. I will never be brought into judgment for the sins of my history. Praise God. What a wonderful Savior. Friend, would you not like to know that tonight? Be able to lay your head, my dear man, dear woman, upon your pillow at home tonight and look into the heavens and be able to say, thank God I'm saved from the judgment due to my sin. That's what the gospel is offering you tonight. And you could get it, friend. But you'll never get it if you don't belong to God. You say to God, well, I'm not as bad as that preacher is saying. Friend, it's not the preacher. I don't know your history. I'm not interested in knowing your history in that sense. It's the God of heaven that knows it. And it's the God of heaven whom you have to deal with. God's heaven you want to get into. Will you not be pleased to be honest with Him tonight and bow your soul to His holy word? As an historian, He writes over your little history. Sinner before God. As He looks at your condition in sin, He says, sick. Sick with sin. And my friend, as the judge looks upon you tonight, He says, guilt. Now, it isn't a question of how many times it's come out of your mouth. The problem is, it's in there. And that's what God has to deal with. My friend, tonight I would that you may see that God in the righteousness of His nature, the holiness of His character, He will not wink at sin. He's not going to say, just sweep that one under the rug. And you know, I'm thankful for that tonight. There was a time in my life when I would wish that God would do a thing like that. I wished He would kind of forget some of Jim Smith's sins. But tonight I can say to you, friend, from the bottom of my heart, I'm glad God is holy. I'm glad He is totally righteous. And He cannot do away with my sin apart from punishing them, having them paid for. That's what the message is tonight. Will you justify God? Will you give Him credit for telling the truth about your history, about your condition, and about your guilt? If you will, as I close the former part of this meeting, I would like you to notice God justifying the sinner. Mind you, friend, that's a miraculous work. It is a supernatural work. You could never justify yourself. That's an impossibility. You know, really, it is very, very poor logic for people to say, well, I'm going to get saved. I'll save myself. I'm going to get saved myself. That's an impossibility. You could never save yourself. You could help yourself be different, but you could never save yourself from the judgment due your sin. That must come from an outside source. It must come from someone else. Someone else must do it for you. That's the justification of the sinner. Can I note with you three things that God says about God justifying a sinner? My, just think of it, friend. If God could look at you tonight and be able to say, He's telling the truth, He is saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
If God could give you that justification, standing before His holy presence and saying, not guilty. Forgiven. Cleansed. Ah, friend, tonight, God's message of the gospel, isn't it a shame that you never listened to it before? Isn't it a shame, friend, that you never really went in for it before? When God is holding out to you the richest treasure that a human being could ever possess. To know that God says, I am saved. That's the secret, that's the foundation, that's the authority of it, when God says it. Notice the first thing that God mentions about being justified. If God is going to justify guilty, sick, sinful men, there's a price must be paid. Our friend, it's the price for the sin and for the sinner. There's a price to be paid, our friend. Every sin has a price upon it. Every sin brings the stroke of divine justice and wrath. Every sin. And not one will ever escape. Not one of mine ever escaped. Yesterday's, today's, or tomorrow's. Praise God, every last one of them have been righteously dealt with. That's what the passage is showing. Notice how it reads in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as the meeting place through faith. In His blood, to declare. There's the secret right there. In His blood. That's what it costs, friend. The sufferings of Calvary's cross are the price that God is able to look into your face and mine tonight and tell us He wants to justify us. Put us into a position of cleared from guilt, never to be brought into judgment in the future. That's being saved, delivered from the condemnation I deserve. Delivered from the judgment my sins deserve. In His blood, the precious blood of Christ, shed at Calvary, friend, for He shed His own life's blood. He controlled Calvary, the mighty sufferer of the cross. He controlled the very men that dared to pound the nails into His hands and into His feet. Blessed Savior, He could say, I gave. He gave it at Calvary. For what purpose? To pay this price. That the God of heaven may be able to put it into a book that you can read it for yourself. That whosoever believeth in Him, that's trusting Him, friend. Trusting Him with your salvation. Not your work. Not what you're trying to do. Not something you pump up in yourself. Not your prayers. Not your baptism nor your communion. But Christ and Christ alone, and the soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, he never, no, never deserts to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's the gospel that God is holding out to you tonight. Good news from heaven. He desires and is able to justify the sinner. Because Christ shed His blood at Calvary and paid the mighty price for sin. But notice the second thing He says about it. He says that it's by grace. Now grace is God moving towards me with this great offer when I don't deserve it. Now I need not remind every one of us in this little audience tonight. At one time or another, or to one degree or another, you have resisted God. I did too. I used to hate it when my father prayed. I say that. I'm ashamed, really, of my action, and I've told God many a time about it when I look back. I did not like my father praying because I knew every time he prayed, he would remind God, oh God, remember Jimmy. He's a sinner that needs to be saved. Oh, I hate it to be God to be reminded that I was a sinner. But I thank God for it today. Thank God for a father that loved my soul enough to pray for me. Thank God for a father that knew God well enough to speak to him face to face and intercede for his son. Because my friend, let me say to you, if God had left me alone, I'd have lived and died in sin and gone to hell forever. What a marvelous Savior. So it is for you tonight, my dear friend in the meeting. Here is an offer from God, and it's by grace. I didn't deserve it, and you don't deserve it. And if you ever get to see that God's telling the truth about you, that's one thing you're going to be willing to admit. I don't deserve it. Oh, God, don't let me die in my sin. I deserve to go to hell. That's justifying God. And friend, you will receive the assurance of everlasting life when you are honest with your God. Give him credit for telling the truth about you and about the great sufficiency of the precious blood of Christ shed at Calvary. Paid the mighty ransom price. And God comes to you tonight. Just as you are, he knows your history. He knows your condition, and he knows your guilt, and the marvelous nature of God is such that he comes to you in his grace and offers you great joy of being justified, freed from condemnation, and never to be brought into condemnation in the future. But as I sit down, can I note you the first word that's used in that text? Will you cast your eye on it again? Look down at verse 24 of Romans chapter 3. Justified freely. Freely. Ah, friend, tonight, God is not asking for a tear as a payment. God is not asking for a prayer as a payment. God is not looking for you, my dear friend, to fix yourself up to come to him. He knows your history. He knows your condition. Your frustration tonight. You'd love to get a hold of peace with God, wouldn't you? And you can't seem to get it. You come just like that. That's the way to come to him. Don't fix yourself up. Come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he justifies freely by his grace through the blood of Christ. God grant that you may justify God tonight, my dear friend. Give him credit for telling the truth about you. And turn to him in all your need, and God's word for it. Him that cometh unto me, says the Savior, I will in no wise cast out. Turn to him tonight, and be saved for eternity.